Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome in. It is Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Pauly Howard with you live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort Casino. Big show lined up today. We're going to hit everything. You name it, we're talking about it. Major League Baseball card with props, Stanley Cup Final, NBA Finals, what happened in the state of Illinois. Derek Stevens on the program a little bit later on. Jensen Lewis on the show as well. Scott Agnes to talk NBA Finals coming up in 30 minutes. But we do have to react to the big news in the NBA that it broke about an hour and 15 minutes ago. And to me, this is a totally reckless overreaction by one of the biggest organizations in any North American sport, the New York Knicks. This is maybe part of the reason why it had been 25 years since you were in the Eastern Conference Finals and why you failed to win playoff series going back a long, long time. I said yesterday, you asked me if they're going to overreact, and do you concur? I said, they can't. That'd be silly. This is the one thing that they could not do. Yeah. And they did. I hate the decision. If they don't have somebody lined up by like tomorrow and announce them, that even it pushes my reckless thought into it, accelerates that into warp speed. Then what are they doing, Pauly?
I would hope that Rose has the game plan. I don't know who the guy's going to be. That's the other thing. I asked the Knicks fan, what are they doing? Same question you asked me, and they said being stupid. First time in 25 years you make the conference finals, and this is the fall guy here? That you thought you were some super team and actually underachieved? I don't know. But the whispers started. We thought he was in trouble if the Pistons series, but they won that series, and then they shocked the Celtics, and then still it wasn't good enough.
So what happens now? If that series plays out like the betting numbers suggested, right, and Tatum doesn't get hurt and the Celtics don't blow those 20-point leads and Boston beats the Knicks in five or six games, is Thibodeau fired then? Or was that, well, we had a really nice season. We'll have year two of the trade with Karl-Anthony Towns bringing in Bridges. We can maybe, and now, you know, we can get to the Eastern Conference Finals maybe next year, and that's going to be another big step. Or was it that they had home court and they got past the Celtics in six games? They had home court to go to the finals, and they lost the first two games. They completely blew game one, and they fell apart, and they eventually, you know, could not even get it back to game seven at home in that finals there. Is that the reason why? That's totally illogical, man.
Just extended him last summer.
Yeah.
Through 27-28. Fourth most wins by a coach in franchise history. The players have his back. At least what Brunson said and Hart and others tweeted and said after they were eliminated by the Pacers. Certainly he runs guys into the ground and doesn't like to play bench players and will keep the starters in there in blowouts. But the next hire's got to be a good hire. And I know Dolan signed off on this, and this was the decision of Leon Rose. But Malone, I don't know. Budenholzer, I think, would be a mistake. This is a shocking move, and I think a bad move.
Well, globally speaking, the odds are up already for the next head coach of the Knicks. And, I mean, tell me a name here that stands out to you that says...
Sure, run him down.
Okay.
He's a good coach. I know he can wear on you, and they're going to trot out the same crap about needed a new voice stuff. But considering the other trash that's out there, or just regurgitating the same guys... you better be creative and unique here. And I know Malone just won a title, but they got sick of him in Denver.
Yep. The short shot on the board, this is at Bovada. Johnny Bryant is plus 240. He is the associate head coach over with the Cavaliers. You're going to go from the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years and Tom Thibodeau to Johnny Bryant? I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay.
Kenny Atkinson is 4-1.
Kenny Atkinson.
Mm-hmm. He's going to leave the Cavaliers?
Come on. Oh, my God. Some of these are ridiculous, like Mark Jackson on that list.
James Borrego is a plus 950. Associate head coach, New Orleans Pelicans. Okay. Mike Budenholzer. If they go from Thibodeau to Mike Budenholzer, just shut it down.
Mm-hmm.
He's plus 950. Patrick Ewing, same number.
Oh, this is comedy.
I guess the people at this, the traders at this book had a tough time, or they're trying to be whimsical with this. Because they also have Patrick Ewing on the list, Sam Cassell. Mark Jackson is 14-1. Mike D'Antoni is 20-1.
Oh, God.
Run it back with Jeff Van Gundy, 25-1. Stackhouse is 25-1. Are they going to go to Adrian Griffin, who couldn't even get like to the halfway point of the season with the Bucks, 28-1? And then they have some other nonsense on the list as well. Tim Bontemps tweeted this out from ESPN not that long ago. Pretty hard to justify firing a coach who won four playoff series in 3 years when the Knicks had won a single playoff series in the prior 22 years. Yeah. I would say so.
Well said.
And there's another tweet here from...
Consecutive 50-win seasons for the first time since the 90s. I would hope there's more to the story here or something could come out, but this is...
This is from Matt on X at Six Rings of Steel. Every NBA coach of the year from 2018 to 2023 ended up getting fired. If you go all the way back, Dwayne Casey with Toronto, fired. Budenholzer, fired with the Bucks. Nick Nurse, who replaced Dwayne Casey, fired by the Raptors. Thibodeau got the axe today. Monty Williams, fired from Phoenix. And Mike Brown, after Sacramento stunned everybody a couple of years ago, also fired. You don't want to win that award, evidently.
Yep. Good tweet. And the other thing is, remember what Finch said after Minnesota was eliminated. Just get ready for next year, too. Because he's right. There's going to be 12, 13 teams in the Western Conference alone that think they can be a top six, top five seed and have a good regular season. And a lot of these teams, the best they're going to do is 42-40. And then what does ownership think, or the general manager, whatever it may be?
Oh, by the way, for this, from a betting standpoint, odds are up at several books to win next year's NBA championship. The New York Knicks are the second shortest shot on the board behind the Thunder. The Thunder are like in the 2-1 range at DraftKings and at the Westgate. DraftKings has the Knicks 8-1. Westgate has the Knicks 9-1. They're number two. Entire league.
Yeah.
And they just got rid of their head coach. Was it his fault they lost to the Pacers?
He did some interesting moves. I know Barkley called him out several times. Some of the rotation stuff didn't work and substitution stuff didn't work. I mean, he tried different things as well. But I would say the answer is no. And they got beat by a better team. The question is, was it good enough if they beat the Pacers? I mean, what's the difference? So if they beat the Pacers, he was okay then?
And they got swept by the Thunder?
Right. How does
it be fine?
An extra couple wins? I mean, he hadn't done anything in 25 years. Think about how bad they were before we got there.
Of course, they were a non-factor.
Yeah, absolutely. And then he won Coach of the Year, as we talked about. He did an excellent job there. He was still like 25-1 late in the season. You have to also be able to handle the New York media, which they could be all over you, and how you handle that. And New York isn't for everybody. I just go back to they were a laughingstock, and he did an incredible job. Now, how the roster was built together and put together and kind of clunky with the moves you made and your ball dominant with Brunson, who takes a lot of shots, and you still have these guys who need the ball, and Towns needs his shots, and Bridges needs his shots. That's something for the general manager. But that's the Garden was rocking. You finally had excitement. You finally got to the conference finals. You finally made a deep run, and it's not good enough.
Yeah, I'll one-up you here. I think for 25 years, other than a small blip on the radar with Carmelo Anthony and then Linsanity, outside of that region of the world, I think the Knicks were irrelevant for more than two decades. Other than very small sample sizes of time, nobody cared. You're right. You used the word laughingstock. That's exactly what they were. Couldn't take them seriously. Didn't care about them.
Free agents wouldn't consider
them.
No,
absolutely not.
No.
They were an
no.
afterthought. Never thought about the Knicks ever. And now this year pops up, and then the run they had with Tibbs overall. And here you go. Again, the betting odds. I can't get past that part. Number two on the odds board. They're like, nah. And how, if they don't have a guy named, what if they reach out to like two or three guys and like, nah, we don't want it? If Dan Hurley's going to be the number one guy on the list, according to some, and he plays around.
Yeah. You gotta
I'm sure they're going to, right?
You have to call him. He's right down the street.
So what if he drags it out like last year with the Lakers?
I know.
And he haws and he's like, I'm thinking about it. You know, give me another couple of days. Let me get my stuff together. And then, nah, I'm really meant to play in college. Well, that's a horrible game plan if you're in the Knicks then. If you think you have a guy or have a chance with him and you keep getting turned down, it's going to be more pathetic.
What may have done it was what happened in the regular season. Against the top three teams in the league, they went 0-10 and were outscored on average by 16 a game. Maybe that did it, too.
Well, I'll ask
you
this.
Know. But I still like my position if I'm the Cavs coming into next season and the Pacers as well. And I would drop Boston considerably.
Let me rephrase my question a minute ago. Was it Tibbs' fault they lost game one to the Pacers?
No.
That was a total fluke by Neesmith.
Yes. They stopped playing. The players said it, though. They relaxed. And he was, they weren't guarding anybody and switching, and he hit a bunch of threes.
So they don't blow that game.
They did a bad job.
And they win it,
yeah,
right? And then they eventually win the series?
Yeah. Tibbs isn't shooting free throws.
No, of course not. It's not his fault. It wasn't his fault they lost the game.
Towns is 90%.
OG missed one.
That's right.
And Neesmith hit 8 from the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Okay. I love it, by the way. Like, organizations always tell fans and media not to overreact. Here's Exhibit A of an organization.
Yeah, right.
Completely going down that path.
Yeah, I know. I want to be at the press conference, and I want to see what the response is. What if they would have beat Indiana? Then he would have been okay.
Oh, they got it. They'll ask every single question. Yeah, they will. They'll throw the entire book at him.
We'll ask Mahoney in 45 minutes. Bet smarter this football season. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a full year, $199. In the free pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by Josh Applebaum, no-nonsense guide to reading the market, spotting sharp action, and making smarter bets. Every pick, every host, every guest, the morning email from Bill Ady, the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, the dog videos as well, and the upcoming NFL betting guide, which drops July 1st. You have a lot down your plate. VSiN.com/subscribe. Code BOOK to sign up. VSiN.com/subscribe.
Were you stunned today when you heard the news?
No, I wasn't stunned, but it's like...
You were at least surprised.
Well, the mind was made up, though. Come on now. The season ends Saturday.
Done.
They wait, and then a couple of days later, they fire him. I mean, they knew what they were going to do.
I was surprised. I really was. Up next, we'll get into today's Major League Baseball betting card. Look at Paulie Howard betting and recommending the Rockies yesterday. Oh, who could possibly do that? And he wins it. Is he going to go back to the well with them one more time tonight? To go back to the first segment of today's show, Knicks being reckless, firing Tom Thibodeau. If you think that was bad, I thought your call yesterday on the Rockies was 10 times worse. I don't know what the hell you were doing. And then it's 3-1 Marlins basically when we get off the air.
Sure.
I'm like, there you go, Paulie. Good job. And they come back. They win 5-4. They only give up one more run after that.
Should they be $2, though? It was a bet against Mayer, and they got some runs off him. And Goodman had two bombs, but I think this price is asinine today as well.
I was going to say, you got to go back to the well. If you liked him last night, you got to like him again today.
Right back. Don't let him get hot, right? As you always tweet. Here we go. The drought ends. The streak comes to an end tonight. They've lost 22 straight series. They have won back-to-back games this year. I think it happens again. Sandy cannot be $1.75, $1.80. He's the worst pitcher in baseball.
Yeah, numbers don't lie. He really is.
0-7 with an ERA of 10 in his last 8 starts. 8.47 ERA on the season. That's the worst out of 105 pitchers with at least 50 innings pitched. I'd feel better if it was Freeland or someone like that, but I know they're all-time bad, but Miami can't be. Sandy specifically can't be laying this, and I just gave you how bad his numbers have been, and I think it was 8 earlier. Maybe he also go over here. I mean, there's 8.5 at DraftKings now, but there are 8s out there with the total.
I played his K prop under 5.5 at plus money in this game. He just does not have good K numbers at all this year, career worst. The numbers, again, don't lie there. Like the swinging strike percentage, all of it is at 9.2%. The rub with this is that the Rockies strike out the most in baseball, 26.9% of the time. But his K rate's at 16.9%. I'll ask you this. If they get the win today, tomorrow it's Freeland against Quantrill. What a pitching matchup that is.
Yeah.
They're going to sweep him?
The bag that's in play. Yep. You don't know what Quantrill you're going to get, but yeah, it's definitely in play at that point. I know. This is unfortunate.
I wanted nothing to do with it. I had this game circled, though, because I want to be able to fade Sandy like every single time somehow, some way. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah.
Because he won the Cy Young, then the injury happens, and he clearly is just not even close to the same dude.
Right. Yeah.
And that stinks.
No, you don't agree. This outfit can't be laying, I don't care who you're playing. They can't be $2, though.
Oh, I do agree.
Okay.
Oh, this number is preposterous in my opinion.
Yeah, you have to be lucky, though, too. I mean, you're right. It's 4-2, and then they got the bases loaded with one out, and they don't score. And then Colorado gets the bats going later in the game. But this is as bad as this guy's been. It's Colorado again today and probably the over.
Well, you're running white hot right now. Gave out the Rockies yesterday. That's on the heels of the Pacers cashing a 19-1 to win the East. You taking any more bombs today? Any big stabs?
Yeah, nothing stands out in terms of big tickets. But The Brewers make sense. Muncy has done his own McGill.
Mm-hmm.
That's another one if you want to play a home run prop. That's not bad. And Henderson has done well against Kirby. And Kirby's had his issues going back as well. And I wouldn't put you off Yelich to go deep again. Guy's hitting 500 the last 10 games. He's got a couple bombs against Green. I do have to come back and take the Brewers, though, too. Brewers won again in Cincinnati. That's 18 of 22 in Great American Ballpark. Green is 1-4 with an ERA of 7.45 against the Brewers in his last six starts. Peralta in Cincinnati, 3-0 with a 1.19 in six starts.
Yeah.
Sitting you right in the face.
And Peralta's having a great year this year as well. I would agree with all that. You know, the numbers on Yelich here, by the way, like last week, he's 11 of 24. That's a 4.58 clip with four home runs and a double. The over 1.5 total bases is plus 130. Like the home run number has come down. The highest I noticed earlier before the show started was plus 360.
Uh-huh.
So it was in the 5-1 range in recent days, but he's so hot that number has come down. He's facing Green tonight, so the total base number has actually gone up. So I like over 1.5 total bases at plus 130 for him to top it off because the guy is scorching hot right now.
Yep. Yep. Don't forget about O'Hearn, too, what O'Hearn has been doing. His numbers have been sick as well, if you want to go with props on him.
Well, I'll give you another guy.
So he's hitting almost 500 as well. I was going to say also, because you had the over, easy winner, with Minnesota and Sacramento again. I mean, this is, again, you can get $1.20 on a Twins on the run line. It's Lopez, likely against Lopez.
Right.
Don't forget about these guys. They've lost 18 and 19.
Yeah. And the former there of the two Lopez's, he had a great first start with the A's. And then last week, he got annihilated. I think he gave up 8 runs immediately in the game. And the Twins are, Paul, they're like blazing hot right now. So that continues, and I would expect that to be a thing tonight. They did adjust the total, by the way, to 10 in this game. That's even with Pablo Lopez on the mound tonight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So after last night was 9, moved to 9.5, and it flew over immediately. There was a 6 spot there by the Twins posted right away in that game. That's got to be a thing tonight as well. I'll give you this, too. Another guy, maybe a little bit under the radar. He's facing Paul Skenes tonight as the Pirates take on the Astros. It's Jeremy Peña. In the last 7 days, 10 of 23 at the plate. And look at this, by the way. Skenes is .156 at home. Peña is batting .435 with 3 homers, a double, and 4 stolen bases in the last week. Because he's facing Skenes, over 1.5 total bases is plus 145. To hit a home run, 11-1. I would not get that nuts. But for a guy who's picked off that many bags in a 7-day stretch, plus 550 to steal a bag tonight for him.
Right. I don't know if he can still lay that, though. I mean, they can't hit. They've lost 7 of his 12 starts, 14 runs combined in the losses. And they're 10-12 with Kelly, the new manager.
I know this. His K-prop has moved about 40 cents.
Uh-huh.
Over 6.5 was plus 125 earlier. It's like minus 110 or higher now. And he's been red hot, by the way, with the Ks. He's gone over this number 3 of the last starts. Three in a row, actually. And his Ks per 9, all the numbers are up in this stretch, as we talked about last time that he went. It's like they're almost like begging you to take that number, and people did. So
yeah,
as a result, that move. I'll give you one to watch as well. Now, it's a big number. Kikuchi goes tonight for the Angels. This is in Boston. His walk prop is 2.5.
Yes, this is great. Number 1 in walks. Good job.
So plus 145 on the over. He has issued more than any other pitcher in baseball this year, 35. Now here, and again, like when is the eruption coming from the opposing team? Kikuchi has given up 2 or fewer earned runs in 6 straight. He's got a 1.89 ERA in 33 1/3 innings pitched. He walked 5 batters last week against the Yankees. 2 of them were intentionally. But he only gave up 1 run. That was it. He's been awesome in Anaheim this year with a 1.33 ERA, but on the road, that ERA goes to 4.3. And he's winless in 9 career appearances against Boston, 7 starts, 0-3 with a 5.97 ERA. I like the Red Sox team total over last night. It did get there. Uh-huh. I think I kind of got to go back to the well. They're really good against lefties.
Yep. What are you doing with the kid? A lot of people like his props tonight. Caglione crushed it in minors, 322, 15 bombs, 56 RBIs in 50 games.
I put pizza money on plus 650 to hit a home run.
All right.
And my thought is there, if he goes yard tonight, that's going to turn into like 4-1 by tomorrow. So, and maybe I'll just bet him every day until he hits one, hoping that he doesn't begin, you know, his big league career with a 7-game drought or something like that.
All right. O'Hearn's 5-1, by the way, to go deep. Kirby's been bad against Baltimore. He's been bad this year. And O'Hearn is hitting a .452, 8 RBIs last 11.
Okay.
If you want to play his props. That's another one.
Did you give any consideration to fading Clayton Kershaw tonight? Takes on the Mets. They're very good against lefties. They strike out only 20% of the time, one of the lowest rates in all of Major League Baseball. Kershaw's K per nine is at 4.9. It's the exact same number as his walk rate. 12.8% K rate overall. It was 18% last year, which was by far and away the lowest of his career. His career average for a K rate is 27.4. Clearly not the same guy we had for his whole career. And the swinging strike rate is at 9.3%. Under 4.5 is juice to the gills, but is he going to get to 5 against this Mets lineup? I don't think I see that happening.
No. Lindor's hot if you want to play his props. And again, what I mentioned with Muncy earlier, good game last night. So was that Padre game. Again, the Giants. What is it? That's 15 in a row now. 4 runs or fewer. Add them to the list.
I know.
What Goodwin was putting together, our viewer, Follow the Money Army. 1-12 with runners in scoring position. Shutout at home. You lose 1-0. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, and you said this yesterday, how you think the Padres' bullpen can't be trusted like the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants had the bases low. They just couldn't get anybody in.
Yeah.
That was a disaster last night for that team.
Yep. Come back with some Texas stuff, too. Texas starters, 3 earned runs or fewer, 22 in a row. Number 1 in ERA, 21-3 when they score 4-plus runs.
Yep.
And 40-19-1 to the under on the season. If you want to do more stuff with Texas. It's a good card tonight, though. NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals are here. Profit X peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll make your picks against other groups of fans rather than against books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds and download it today with code VSIN. Earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Code VSIN. Get that $200 in your first month in profit cash. Go get it.
Up next, we'll hit the NBA Finals. Scott Agnes does a great job covering the Pacers in Indianapolis. As Mike Tyson once said, Paulie, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, I want to know, as big dogs here, like, what is the Pacers' plan overall? You can get open threes against the Thunder.
Yep.
Well documented, right?
Yep. Corner threes, too.
Sure.
Yep.
Is the plan to go bombs away? Are they going to go faster than even normal? We'll ask them coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. Time to talk NBA Finals here as we head out to the Progressive Guest Line. Scott Agnes has a great job of covering the Indiana Pacers and the Fever for Fieldhouse Files, and he is on the Progressive Guest Line. Scott, thanks for the time today. How are you?
I'm doing well. Looking forward to game one coming up in a couple days here.
Yep, same here. Let's talk about this from a betting standpoint to begin with quickly. Now, this is not priced like a 1 versus 16 in college basketball during March Madness, but the Thunder are such big favorites, laying like $7, so you have to lay $700 to win $100 just to win the series outright. That's like almost a good 4 against a 13 seed in March Madness. Does that feel right to you? I mean, or does it seem to be, you know, like the Pacers have a much better chance than that?
I think on the court, the Pacers have a better chance with that. But in terms of the odds, I'm not surprised. This was the dominant team all season. This is a team that went 29-1 against teams in the East. They beat the Pacers in one of their two meetings by 20-plus points. They have an outstanding defense. They begin it at home. And on top of that, the public doesn't know a ton about both these teams. But do they do know? Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is on one of them. And so, of course, it's going to tip that way pretty heavily.
Do you think they're going to get beat up on the glass?
That's been one of the Pacers' biggest problems, really, since my time covering them in the last 13 years here. I don't think they'll necessarily get.
Oh, okay. Damn.
Bad connection here. We'll try to reconnect with Scott. Want to get into, by the way, the tempo, how fast they're going to go. Because remember, Halliburton was mad at himself after the one loss to the Knicks. And he goes, that's on me. I walked the ball up the court. I recognized it when it was happening, and they totally corrected that in the following game. And then, what are we talking here, Paulie? If they get the open threes, which they should against this Thunder defense, they're deep. They got a ton of guys who can shoot. Are we talking 40, 45 threes a game?
That's what I would do. And plus, on VSiN.com today, Dan Karpuk had a good breakdown about OKC allowed the second most corner threes in the playoffs.
Uh-huh.
So that's hunt those matchups. Try to find that. You have so many guys that can shoot threes. That could be a way to attack them as well.
I was listening to Money Moves earlier today with Stormy and JVT, and he said that Hartenstein, JVT did, that this might not be a series for Hartenstein. He might be actually relegated to the bench a little bit here.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we Scott's back now on the show. We've talked about this a lot. The Thunder will allow open threes, and Paulie just said a lot of corner threes as well. Like, if they're there, right, this team is super deep, meaning the Pacers, a ton of guys who can shoot. Are we talking, like, if 40, 45 threes a game potentially?
Not for the Pacers, no. I'd be surprised if they got that high. I'd actually like to see them attempt more three-pointers, guys. They've been pushing, like, maybe 30 per game. I'd like to see that number 35. So I would be stunned if they got into the 40s. But you raised a good point. The Thunder give up a ton of corner threes, and no team shoots better from the corner in threes than the Pacers. So that's definitely something to watch. And I, as I heard jumping back on here, I agree with Hartenstein. I'll be curious with him and Chet Holmgren. To me, if you ignore the stars, to me, Miles Turner and what happens on the interior is one of the biggest questions I have heading into this series.
Yeah.
How do you think Carlisle's going to play it? Because Toppin had some big games and some big minutes, and how long will he trust Turner?
I think quite a while, for sure. He's not afraid to pull the leash and go with a smaller lineup like an Obi Toppin at the four, Siakam even at the five. But I think the advantage could be Pacers here, especially the way Miles can shoot the ball, how he can do a pick and pop with Halliburton, especially as Lu Dort and Thunder are going to be all over Halliburton. I'm very curious to see what he's able to produce offensively, because you know that's the number one thing the Thunder are going to try to take away.
What about in terms of tempo overall? In Indiana now for a couple of years, obviously they go very fast. They're one of the fastest teams in the league. And I referenced that point after game three when Halliburton told the media after they lost to the Knicks, he's like, yeah, you know what? I recognize I was walking the ball up the court in that game. I can't do that anymore. We got to push it. And in game four, I thought they set the tone immediately, because after a Knicks bucket, they came back down and scored. They retaliated like right away in the opening seconds to score within like 4 seconds. And like, okay, they're setting the tone here tonight. Are they going to go warp speed pretty much the entire time?
That'd be their hope. But here's the interesting thing in all this is the Thunder have a better pace in this postseason, and they also have scored more fast break points than the Pacers in this postseason. That's one of the great similarities I see between these two teams, including in addition to the makeup of the team, how so many of these guys were maybe counted out in their previous situation, traded away and acquired here by their respective teams. But from a pace standpoint and endurance standpoint, I think they're similarly matched.
OKC's been taking it away from everyone and forcing turnovers all year long. Well, you think that'll continue, or the Pacers are so good with the ball and Halliburton that they'll take care of it?
I think it all depends on how much trouble they're able to give Halliburton. He had a couple games with no turnovers against New York. He also had one game where he had four turnovers and just was taken out of his rhythm and uncomfortable all game long. During the regular season, he had just average success. He led them in scoring one of the games when they lost by 20. His high was 18 points, and that led the team. And so this is such a disruptive defense that I think turnovers won't be a major factor in most of the games, just because of how well the Pacers take care of the ball. It's one of their pillars.
You have a great home court advantage. Is it encouraging for you and the fan base that OKC has struggled away from home?
Yeah, I think that's the one thing. If you're the Pacers, you got to lean into, right? Because they've been dominant at home, OKC has. So you have to realize, hey, if we could just get game one, that's the one I've been thinking about here, right? Like, maybe I don't technically completely believe in it, but especially back in the day with Peyton Manning and the Colts here, you'd always have that end of the year debate. Is it rest versus rust? Mm-hmm. Well, the Thunder have been off for more than a week now heading into this. The Pacers, little less time. They have, you know, a little bit more of basketball they've played over the last couple of days. If they could get game one, come back to Indianapolis with that crowd that you alluded to there, then I think that sets them up for success in this series. It'll be tough if they drop both of the first two games, then really feel the pressure and some urgency as they return home. Mm-hmm.
Do you see a big spot here or big opportunity for one of the others here on the Pacers? Like Mathurin against the Knicks struggled to open up the series, but he came on the gangbusters late. Is there a player here, like maybe on the bench, that you can see like having a really big series?
Yeah, TJ McConnell always mixes things up. I could see him having a couple games of 10-plus points, but I think the most favorable thought here would be Pascal Siakam. He has the most experience of anyone on this Pacers roster. He's won a G League title, G League MVP, NBA MVP, or excuse me, championship with the Toronto Raptors. I know it makes a lot of sense given he's one of the stars, but if I'm looking for a safe, favorable move, I think it would be Siakam's contributions. He scored 30 plus points in 3 of the 6 wins against New York.
Yeah, how close to 100% is Nesmith, you think, entering the finals?
Yeah, I think probably you're pushing 85, 90%. I was told he was feeling very well, almost back to normal heading into game 6. Now, game 5 was a little bit different, and he was out of his routine. It was a game that was on the road as well. But I think you're cautiously optimistic about what he's able to do for the duration of the series. And he's going to have to play a big factor. He's their best defender generally and will probably get the first crack at SGA.
Were you surprised Siakam won Eastern Conference Finals MVP?
I was not. I didn't have a vote, but if I did, that would have been mine as well, okay, given what I alluded to earlier with his contributions, both in terms of points, but also throughout this series and his mentorship and what he's the guy you can always count on. And maybe I'm a little biased because I've been watching him all season, and all season long the thought was, man, where would this team be without Pascal? Especially the first 2 months of the season when numerous players were injured, including 3 starters. They were starting a G League two-way player as their point guard in a game there in November. Siakam was the safe choice and the right choice in my mind, even though I would have understood if Haliburton, the face, the star of the team, would have been awarded it too.
Scott, you also cover the Fever there as well. It's a very small sample size since the injury happened to Caitlin Clark. It has not gone well, to say the least, for that team without her. Is now the time to bet her to win the MVP?
I guess if you want to risk some money there. I don't think so. I think she's probably still a year away from doing something like that. On top of that, you brought in 6 new players. So as much as we should emphasize the continuity, familiarity, comfort with the Pacers, it's the opposite for the Fever. They're still figuring out each other. Caitlin trying to understand how to play with those teammates. And remember, she was sidelined for about a week of training camp, missed the first preseason game with like a bone bruise in her left leg as well. And so she hasn't been 100% at all this season. And they also have several other injuries, which will impact the win-loss record. Therefore, I think it impacts her chance to win MVP.
Very good. Scott Agnes, our guest here, he covers the Pacers and the Fever for Fieldhouse Files. You can follow him on X. He is at Scott Agnes, A-G-N-E-S-S, and he was on the Progressive Guest Line. Pleasure talking to you today, Scott. Thanks for the time. We appreciate that.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We hit the road next week, June 12th through the 14th, live from Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge, College World Series in Omaha. Catch Money Moves and us live from Omaha. Special Saturday show, 9 to 12 in the morning, local time, bringing the sights, sounds, and best bets from the tournament, U.S. Open, NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. If you're in the neighborhood, stop by, say hello. Rocco's, the home of the Jello Shot Challenge for the College World Series, the 12th through the 14th in Omaha.
We were kind of close to getting maybe like a Little Rock against Coastal Carolina.
Only the max number is 3 SEC teams that can make it.
Unbelievable
weekend. What happened? Strength of schedule. Sankey, what happened, buddy?
Win some, lose some is up next. I wonder if anybody bet this last night because it was 100-1. Paulie with the details coming up.
The night in sports betting and win some, lose some.
All right, we mentioned Carpenter had good numbers against the White Sox and who they were facing. Well, how about 3 bombs, 100-1? How about that? No problem.
Anybody bet that?
I can't imagine.
I mean, honestly, would that even, if you saw that on your phone when you were looking, would you say, oh, I'll take some of that?
Yeah, right.
100-1, I would not even consider.
I know a couple people who bet home run, but that's, well, 100-1's light, too.
Oh, it has to be.
Hit 3?
Yep.
I mean, that's it. Goodman, 2 bombs, 40-1. Lindor, first home run of the Mets game, 9-1. Home run, 4-1. The Mets have won 27 games in a row that he's hit a home run in, going back to last year. We talked about It's the second best run in the divisional era for home teams yesterday, and road teams went 7-0 yesterday.
How about that?
Yeah. Best since 2013 in a night. 7-0. Tigers, $2 up to $2.50, no problem. Rockies, plus 165. College World Series, getting close. College Baseball, North Carolina, 230 up to 280. Tennessee, 260 up to 310. And Murray State, plus 270. They're in the Super Regional. What were they?
I'll have more numbers when you're done.
Got that?
Yes.
You got it?
Yep.
Oh, man. You're right about it. And Little Rock had the lead. Subscribe, be part of the team, VSiN.com, our radio and podcast friends. Send in these videos. We'll put you on. A couple lose some here. This is a tough beat that the dog. You can't have both, buddy. He's got the toy in his mouth, and then the human's giving him the nugget, and he's trying to have both. And he can't. You're not going to be able to do it. You have to spit out the toy if you want the nugget. You can't get it. You can't. Come on, buddy. It's all right. We love you, though. But you can't have the toy. Okay, finally. He spit the toy out to get the nugget.
Is it a toy can of like one. Or a bottle of Tabasco, too? It's hot sauce, yeah.
Oh, good call. Yeah. It's a good call. Yeah, right. They make you. It's creative, the stuff they have. I got Jordan like the Starbucks one that they sell, and he likes that toy as well. This dog is terrified, and I don't blame him. King Kong comes. He's watching King Kong on the big screen. And then when he's got the toy in his mouth, and then when King Kong appears, he starts freaking out, and he wants to protect the gal there on screen as he keeps looking. This is a goal. As the human is filming the back and forth. Now he's coming up trying to save the day. He doesn't know what to make of it. Do your dogs freak out when there's anything on television?
My dog Dexter used to, yeah.
Any other dog?
He would go nuts. He's the only one.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, like weird movements, whatever, like okay. Weird animals, yeah.
Yeah. Remember the one we showed where Darth Vader came on the screen?
Oh, the dog
and
was
the dog was hiding behind the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy wants a piece of King Kong. That's excellent. We love puppies. We love all dogs. These French bulldog puppies here. And these guys, you won't believe the end. He's trying to get the sleeping position here and get comfortable with all his brothers and sisters. And there's like five of them, and they're all sitting down in this little bed here. And the little fella. And he can't get the right spot. But where's he going to go? And I can't get in the middle. And if I want to go on the side, and now I go on the corner, and then my face up against the wall, I rest my head on the other guy's face. But the final resting position is the shocker about where he decides to wind up after all this. He's on top of one guy. He's on top of another. He gets on the side. He's got the head up on against the wall. And then it's the damnedest thing. And then finally how he decides to close it. Okay. Not that's not good.
Straight up and down.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Face buried right in the rug.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to feel that tomorrow. No good. Final jewel, the Triple Crown is here, Belmont Stakes. No better time to bet the races than First Bet. New users get a $200 sign-up bonus, promo code VSIN200. Whether you're a seasoned horse player or brand new to the sport, First Bet has all the tools to elevate your game. Download the app. Go to firstbet.com/VSIN. Sign up today. Promo code VSIN200 for your $200 bonus. Go get it.
All right, some of the details on the college baseball tournament. Last night, LSU trailed Little Rock 5-1 going to the fourth inning. 5-1, Paulie. Little Rock was 12-1 to win the game before it started. We talked about it on the show yesterday. They beat them on Sunday night, and they were 14-1 dog then. LSU scored three, added one in the sixth to tie it at 5-5. Little Rock was 5,000-1 here at Circa to win the entire thing before it started last Friday. 5,000-1.
They had a horrible record.
Murray State.
What a story that would have been.
Yep. Before it started, Murray State was 700-1 here at Circa. They're alive. UTSA, 125-1. I saw 175-1 offshore. Some of these other numbers.
Seems light. Especially
yeah, I know.
With all the SEC propaganda, too, and what happened.
What if Wright State had gotten by, and they were close to doing so? They were 1,000-1. So some teams that are still alive that had massive numbers. Louisville was triple digits. Miami was 175-1.
Really?
Yep. They're in the same super regional. Look at the one here with UTSA. Again, as high as 175-1 before the tournament started. Murray State 700. They're in it with UCLA 70-1 and Duke 65-1.
Really?
And then you have another one where there it's all short numbers, basically. LSU plus 450, Arkansas 8-1, Tennessee 9-1. West Virginia is the one long shot. They were 100-1 before it started.
Okay.
This is absolutely bonkers what's going on.
This is from Pat Forty. Little Rock ended the regular season 19-32 in eighth place in the Ohio Valley. Then they went 8-1, and they were that close to going and pulling it off. But couldn't pull off the upset, and that would have been something because they won Friday 14-1, and they tried to win yesterday 12-1 and gave it their best shot. I don't know what it is. For the 1-2 seed, not even to get to the Super Regional and upsets that have happened? Crazy.
13 teams got in, and now three can make it to
three.
Omaha,
that's it.
And that's it?
That's it.
That's the maximum number?
Yep.
Yep, stunning. I was looking at – we had a guest on last week from College Baseball Insiders, and I asked him about Auburn's number at 25-1 because people told me, like, that was a super high number. Their RPI and their SOS was, like, number one and number two in the country. Their metrics were really, really good. Now they're down to 10-1. I did not bet 25-1. I feel like a dope. I really don't want to hop in now at 10-1 because as we've seen, maybe they win it, but as we've seen, also, maybe it's total chaos the entire time. Coastal Carolina won this thing back in 2016, and they were not even that big of a – they weren't – Coastal Carolina before the tournament started was 33-1.
Mm-hmm.
How good is that program?
Yeah, no kidding. What was the beef there with Florida, Coach? Did you see that?
You know what? People were sending that to me, and I guess that – did you watch it?
I didn't know who was at – I didn't see – I saw the F-bomb tirade. I didn't know who was at fault. And then I saw the follow-up, which was good by the Coastal Carolina manager.
Yeah, I think it was the Florida manager's fault.
Was it? Okay.
From what everybody was saying, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That was bizarre.
I'll give you another guy that I'm looking at tonight for K-props. Oh, by the way, this ties into the news with the Yankees last night. Weaver now going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Yeah, bad beat out for it. So does Williams get back in? He's been good since demoted.
I know.
But I don't want him to be a closer.
Well, let me ask you this then. If you're the Yankees right now, and I bet them for the most – this is not because of my bet. It's because their path here until like the All-Star break is very doable. Would you go add somebody right now? And then you want to make – because the Blue Jays are right there with them. I can't believe that. I think they're going to fade at some point. The Red Sox, I anticipate making a run, but who the hell knows if that's going to happen. Would you try to open the gap right now? Or would you be comfortable with who you have? Because what if Williams is a disaster until Weaver gets back?
Yeah. I know. I wouldn't mind making a move. The guy they're throwing today has been aces, though. Rodon 6-0 with a 1-2-7 in his last 8 starts.
Yeah.
Judge is crushing Cleveland as well. Going back the last 14 games.
Yep. Rodon's the guy that I'd be looking at.
You think the Red Sox are going to make a run? Really?
Yeah, but they're 6-16.
I think I'm giving up.
They're 6-16 in one-run games. I think that was after last night, losing another one. But I also, maybe that's my heart talking because I have a bet on them to win that division. And I'm stunned at how bad they are or how, you know, their mm-hmm. record overall. The stuff with Rodon, 11.15 Ks per nine on the year. Double-digit outings in 2 of his last 4 starts. He's had 8 or more in 5 other starts, including 8 at Cleveland on April 25th. The Guardians strike out at 21.6% of the time. That's 17th most in the league. But that number goes all the way up to 25% against lefties and other lefties against Cleveland. Skubal had 13 last Sunday. Reagan's had 10 earlier in the year.
Yeah.
His K percentage is at 31.7%, highest since 2022, third highest of his career. So 6.5 minus 110 here at Circa. I think I might be riding that with Rodon.
Last week, Mike Somich did a baseball article on VSiN and made the case on futures for the Braves. 69-39 in June since 2021.
It's pretty strong.
Uh-huh. And a 30-cent move on Atlanta today. I agree with it. Jeff Passan said maybe Zach Gallen could be on the move. I don't know if I want him. He's been terrible.
I know. Something may be wrong there.
Strider was $1.30 this morning. Now Atlanta's up to 165 at DraftKings.
Up next, Brian Mahoney covers the Knicks and the NBA for the Associated Press. We'll get into the news today with the Knicks firing Tom Thibodeau as the head coach. Who are they targeting? Like, who's the guy? Who's the next guy up for the Knicks? We'll ask him coming up on Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.